lamb scattered all over the place.
Oh, it's tragic. The chick he was going to hook up with, she got blasted on.
Hi, this is Joe Field, the founder of Free Comic Book Day and Flying Colors Comics in Concord, California, and you are listening to the Comic Pop Library.
Another episode of Comic Popping Manga Style. I'm Richard along with
Lenny.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at Resident Evil, the Mahara Desire, Book 1. And this is the art and story are by Naoki Serizawa. And the concept, of course, it's Resident Evil, so it's Capcom is the concept.
Capcom.
And of course, we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And I think we have enough Resident Evil fans out there. They pretty much know what this story is going to be about.
Guess. Guess.
Oh, no.
Guess which zombies it's about. By the way, explicit content warning.
Yes, yay. It is. Basically, this one is a prequel to the sixth game that is, if not already out, will be out. I'm pretty sure it's probably is out, though. Some of the lead characters that are in here, we have Doug Wright. He's a scientist that helps investigate and takes care of infections and biological hazards. He has his nephew, Ricky Tazawa, that goes along with him. We have a student at the Narhawa Academy, Bindi Bergara.
Marhawa Academy.
And she's one of the lead characters. Then we also have a BSAA team. It stands for, if you're not fans of the game, Bioterrorism Security Assessment Alliance. And we have Chris Redfield, who's Alpha Team Captain of the North American branch.
Very famous in the video game world.
Yes. And I'm going to have to lean on Lenny on this because we only have a few Resident Evil games. Mira Biji from the Far East branch. Piers Nevins, he's also just a member of the North American branch of Alpha Team.
Yeah, Chris is the captain, and for good reason.
And they're basically a cleanup crew.
Okay, this was founded after the Raccoon City incident in the game, this organization.
Okay.
And their basic job is to rid the world of the Umbrella Corps mutant zombies. And
core? You're like my kid's corpse. It's a corpse. No, it's a core.
Yeah, well, you said some stuff wrong this time, too.
I guess we ought to give
There are a few words that no matter how many times I finally have heard them correct, and they're normal words. I say them wrong because I read them first, and when I read them, I believed it should look this way. Now, I don't say Marine Corps. I say Marine Corps. And I know how it's spelled. I know it's the same word. I know, and I'm sorry. I'm just sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'm the stupidest, dumbest writer ever.
No. But this is, give the little backstory here on the back. At the prestigious and elite Marhala Academy, a female student suffers a horrifying transformation. Called in to investigate, Professor Doug Wright and his nephew Ricky find themselves caught up in a deadly and growing tragedy. As things get rapidly out of hand, Chris Redfield and his team from the Bioterrorism Security Assessment Alliance arrive on the scene while a mysterious finger looms behind it all.
Okay, for one thing, I want to call Richard a liar.
Liar, liar.
It's like the person that wrote this this back cover didn't read it. It's okay. I think in the video game, that team certainly does arrive on the scene and start kicking ass, but this is the prequel to that video game, so they actually do not arrive at any point in this book on the scene. So that's the only...
We're just in the first volume, though, so...
Yeah, and they definitely will... very soon if you go back. Okay, so, and the interesting thing I think about this particular installment of Resident Evil is it's going back to its origins. It's, you know, even in the game, and I know in the movies everything exploded into the whole world, but in the games it did, you know, it only took over the whole city, you know, but basically eventually enveloping that, and then the rest of the world just went on. So this is after Raccoon City fell. The BSAA has been set up, and this is an academy hidden from the world. We don't know why.
Right.
And being hidden from the world, they're elite. They're supposed to be the best. You know, it's a school. You know how Japanese people are about schools. They just love good schools.
Wealthy and elite, as it says.
Yeah. It's ran by a nun, and this is interesting, too, I think. This nun...
Is she really a nun? I don't know.
She dresses like a nun. I think that's just her uniform. Cause
I don't know.
You remember in the story, I think they just like, they're like, here you go, lady.
Yeah.
You're a nun now. Or you dress like one.
Okay.
She is the most beautiful nun ever. I mean, prettier than the flying nun, prettier than, like, and I mean, they draw this character exquisitely. The guy comments, you haven't changed at all. And later, when you see a recap of her younger, no, she hasn't changed at all.
But he's grown old as hell.
So me being a knowed Resident Evil old crony, I know something's up with that. And that's why I think she didn't get included on the back cover. She's a very prominent figure.
Yeah, she is.
But I think she's the bad guy. See, I don't know, so I can say that it's not a spoiler.
Literally only read the first volume, so.
But it's literally brand new, pretty new. It is good. I really liked it. I read it very quickly. I like the weren't very many zombie attacks.
Not a whole lot. It's one of those.
It's getting everything set up. Right. It's getting set up for the big
first volume setting up. What we have a little bit of a take a step back from reality type of situation is the Ricky character. You know, in real life, more times than not, he would not be there.
Alice. He's Alice. I think that's what they're doing. I'm not sure. There's a couple of explanations. One, he is basically, this is a conspiracy thing, and he has been pegged with, you know, like they did Alice.
Well,
in the game, Alice is really prominent. In the movies, she's everything.
Right.
And I don't know. I want to say that the third game is primarily her backstory. And
We only have a few games, so I can tell you.
It seems like, and I don't know if this is just the movie. It's been a lot more recent that I haven't played any Resident Evil video games in a little while. I think that the movies have me believing that definitely that she was pegged from the beginning. But the movies, they definitely don't follow the games 100% at all.
No.
And even in their technology and how they do things, they kind of diverge for that format. So don't follow me 100% on that for the video game. Is Resident Evil 6 out?
I'm not sure. I'd have to do a little Google. Let me see.
We'll know more about this book when we play that monster. I love the Resident Evil series. I'm glad that they're bringing a comic, a manga, you know, series out with it this time. I'm excited. I don't know. Have they done that in the past? Is this the first Resident Evil manga?
There's been a few other comics, some novels, but I think this is the
first series
prequel.
Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. Biohazard, of course, does it. Or that's what it's known as in Japan, as Biohazard. Sorry, I'm talking away from the mic. Apologize. I'm going to get in trouble this time by Michelle instead of Winnie.
I have it like up in my face where I'm sitting back so I can't get away from it pretty much.
Oh, God. Yeah, this thing's been out for a while. But let me give you the time frame. This has been out for a couple of years. It's been out on a 360 since 2012. It's been out on Windows since 2013.
So most of you have probably played this.
This book came out in Japan in 2012. We're just now getting this material in 2014 in the U.S. market. So that gives a little bit why there's a time lag. So 6 is out there, definitely. So we just,
so you can, yeah, you can read this, and then you can go and play the game, and it will make perfect sense. I think you'll know what I don't know.
Now that I see the cover art to Resident Evil 6, it's like, duh, yeah, it's out there.
Well, you've seen it before. Like, hang on, I'm going to go check it out.
We did a trailer for it on the website. It's over there.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that's out. So my bad. It is out.
Well, it's not a big deal, and I mean, you know, I don't know. I've gotten away from my video game roots, having kids and all.
This is one because it's a 14 book. It's going to be still relatively fresh.
This is a brand new book. I mean, this is less than a year old, first printing. So you know, this is. I figured out where they have that stuff in manga.
And this
one's in the back, which only makes sense because that's the front.
And this one is put out by
It's on the same page, but it's on the other end.
Stop. You got to read backwards.
I don't have to. You know what? It's like makes the story weird, but it's still kind of interesting when you read it the wrong way because everyone comes back to life. In the end, they just go home to where they came from and everything's peaceful.
Really?
Hey, every book's
there's
better
your happy ending.
Every book's better backwards.
Your happy ending.
Your happy ending's in the beginning.
This one is put out by Viz Signature. So if you remember Lenny saying earlier in the episode, it has explicit content. Definitely for the violence. I'm not sure if there was any nudity in this.
There was no nudity.
One.
No. A little bit of sexual.
There might be some in future books,
but super. Yeah. I think they're leaning towards they're going to have a little bit of that, but it mainly in this one is just pretty bloody and there's a lot of
Resident
Evil. Some people getting blown away, zombies mainly, but you know, other people I think were also attacked pretty violently. So warning for your kids, it might be a little bit scary and there are definitely some bloody sequences with
and there
virus.
Are some shots where you're like ho ho ho, there's some fan service, and it's not, you know, anything, it's like anything that you'll see in a 16 and up book. Sometimes, especially with teenagers when they're involved, you always have the klutzy scenes where, oh, excuse me, I fell on top of you type scenes. Yeah, thank you for letting me have your breasts in my face. you know that's almost typical.
One of the best zombie attack in this book, I'm going to give away a little spoiler, the best zombie attack in this comic is it shows the bottom half of her face, you know, and she's like, he's waking up in his bed, and this girl that he met earlier, it has her blouse open. She still has her bra on, but she has her blouse open, and she's in his face, you know. But he looks up at her, and of course, it's Resident Evil. She's a zombie. So, but when you just see her chin, you know, it like, I think it's just they're like trying to trick you because it's normal looking. Because you're not supposed to be looking at that anyway.
It's
one of those gratuitous scenes. And the fun thing is it looks gratuitous, but in the end, it's one of the best like zombie attacks. And then the interesting thing is they do this one character. He's just a kid. His Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky's the kid.
And that's this the scene I'm describing. So
he's a college student, I guess we should say. He's a college student.
Yeah, so he's like an old man in Japan, but. Like they're like, oh, you're already in college, so how many times have you been married? he's bitten, and they're not really sure what's going to happen with him. So,
so far he survived.
He's okay, and it's up in the air. So that's
we'll see what happens. I don't know how many volumes this will go on. I think there's roughly 5 books out so far, but we don't have all of them here yet to actually read. We will be because. This is one, it's a popular enough property, people will be interested in it. Pretty much any library that's out there, you'll have an audience for this. Your gamers especially, your Resident Evil gamers, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, even if they don't read manga, people that like the game.
Show it to them, they're like, ooh.
If they catch the cover, they're going to be drawn to it, thinking it's some sort of, you know, cheat book. And then, you know, a lot of them are going to read it. I like Resident Evil. And I was instantly drawn to it just by the fact that it was from the Resident Evil brand and that it was something new. Like, it wasn't going to follow Alice, and it wasn't going to be in Raccoon City, and it wasn't going to be a direct umbrella you know, thing. I'm starting to think that it's going to be that eventually, but you know, it's starting out in a new location, and that's fun.
Well, it's the Resident Evils, they're lumped in the horror genre, but to me, they're not true horror per se. They're more a sci-fi.
And, yeah, it's definitely science fiction. It's science fiction horror. Have you ever seen Dead Space?
Yes.
So it's like that. Yeah,
it's sci-fi. Alien is sci-fi horror too, but...
But they definitely went for the gore factor in it, right? So it's like, you know... Yeah, Alien but is sci-fi, not, but then when the thing comes out of the guy's stomach, you're like, horror, you know?
And this is one is because it's the acts, you know, they are zombies per se, but they're not magical zombies. It's a scientific-based zombification.
These were purposely created zombies. The thing about Resident Evil is there's this evil corporation umbrella lurking behind the scenes.
Let's play around.
And they are doing this to people on purpose, or they were. And this presupposes that they have been dealt with. The umbrella's gone, but then there's that lurking evil kind of. Like, all the people in the world got a job together working at the same company, and they're like, let's design zombies and then sell them to, you know, countries to use as bioterrorism. Richard has a phone call. Please excuse us one moment.
Yes. Text. Forgot to turn it down. Sorry about that. And that's what I like about... And I'm a horror fan. I like it, but... I'm more of a sci-fi fan, so if you can tote it in a sci-fi cover or outfit, that gets me even more interested into it.
So you'll watch horror if it looks good, but if it looks sci-fi, you're going to check it out anyway just to see if it's good.
Right, and that's like you talk Deep Space, you have Doom as well. That's sci-fi based. But I'll still get into, you know, the Draculas, the vampires, the werewolf types, Twilight. Ghost stories. Twilight was too slow. If they would have had, and the
Twilight was not a horror or sci-fi. It was nothing scary about that.
I never read the books, but we did watch the movies because
I watched the movies. I'll admit that.
But it's like the last movie was basically a dream. It's like, you got to be kidding me, with a few atrocious word placed in there.
Oh yeah, they totally killed me with that. Because I didn't read the books.
This has finally got good.
I was like, this is the best Twilight movie ever. And then it was like, but you know, the ending was happy. And I think that they were like, since they were going for a female, I'll say this about Stephanie Meyer. I think I haven't read her books. Okay. I haven't read the Twilight series. I have read another book by hers.
The Host.
And I will tell you something. I really love that book. It's more up your alley. Let me tell you a little bit about The Host for no reason right now. It's sci-fi.
Diving off and sidetracking.
Yeah, folks. Right? We're going into our rabbit hole. Come with us. The Host is basically, it's more what you're looking for. I think you would have liked it. There's even a movie, but the movie doesn't do the book justice. The
movie was all right.
The book is like, you could lift weights with it. It's huge.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And the thing is, it's a cross-species love story. And, I mean, if you think about the dynamics of that, for me, that was what really, and the problems, you know, and it's an invasion, but the invaders think, you know, that we're assholes and that they deserve our planet more than we do, and they kind of do. So, you know, and the movie, I don't hate The Host of the movie, but don't watch The Host of the movie and then tell me that The Host is a bad idea or not a good book. Please read The Host the book before judging. I've never even read Twilight. I read the first couple chapters and then I got busy with other things, but I did read, because it's not part of the movie, The Short Second Life of Bree Tanner. So that's the other thing that I've read by Stephanie Meyer, and I really think she's a very talented writer. And I would have probably enjoyed the movies even more, because I did enjoy them. I watched them with my wife. They're romantic. When you're with your wife, you can have a good time with that, even if you're a guy, admit it. But I would have liked them better, I think, slow. If I would have read the books. And I think I will read the books someday. I just don't know when.
To me, they were just a little slow.
I'm too busy with my current projects.
I mean, everybody hates the sparkly and all that. And I was like, I don't care. That's just the concept she used. Fine. You know, it's like, get over yourself. That's just her concept.
It was more like teeny
kind of. It was a little slow.
Yeah, well, it was drug out on purpose. It was, right, supposed to be a slow, angsty teenage romance. I mean, it's for the 13-year-olds that wish they were 16-year-olds, the 16-year-olds that wish they were 21-year-olds, and the 21-year-olds that wish they were 3.
But that's that rabbit hole. Now let's.
But back to Resident Evil, that has nothing to do with Stephanie Meyer's the host or Twilight.
How do we get Twilight in Resident Evil? Oh my God. That's interesting.
And the funny thing was, I was prepared to continue. I almost forgot what the hell we were talking about.
Resident Evil is going to have a bloodbath, that's for sure. I could be wrong. There could be some nudity later on, but I think the explicit tag is mainly because of language and the violence. And I could be wrong later on in future volumes, but that's, to me, Resident Evil is not about the sex. More about the violence.
Even in the movies, they had the same tag. It was all rated R, and every single one of them had nudity.
But it's not sex.
Well, it was all scientific. It was not sensual nudity. Mm-hmm. It wasn't even artistic nudity. It was like scientific nudity.
Almost barren, you know, just cold and barren. And
yeah, everyone knows it was Mila Jovovich. And she is a very beautiful woman. And,
is that the nun?
Oh, gosh, I hope.
In
the game, she's depicted as pretty as possible. The two, I'm trying to think if I should know those. She has that mark on her face.
Okay.
The two dots, like freckles falling from her eye. So we'll read more and we'll get back to you on that. Who is that nun? The thing is it makes her, she's really interesting, and she's not a villain. She does some villainous stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think she might be a villain, but I don't know if she's the cause of what's happening at the academy.
I'm back and forth.
I don't know.
I want to believe she is, because that's the coolest possible way it could be.
But I think she might be the red herring.
Yeah, and that would just be kind of boring to me. I want to see her vamp out and like her face come apart and eat people.
She's all about not the disease or
she doesn't care about the biohazard though.
She just wants to protect the academy.
I know that, but why is it because of what it is, or is it because of what she uses? Because I mean, she wants to protect academy's reputation. So in the long term, what is the one thing that protects any school's reputation? Alumnus.
Stay true to your school.
Alumnus. alumni. Yeah. Letting the students die and disappear without any explanation for the student body is not the best way. And I mean, like, obviously the person that wrote this did not. Either that's a lie, or they didn't realize that, like, if you were actually going to run a private school for rich hoity-toity Asians, you can't lose a student.
Oh no,
these kids are worth more. I mean, like, these kids matter. They are only allowed to have so many. They're rich and they're held down and oppressed anyway, so if you can imagine what that's like, Americans, you know, like, for even you rich people to be held down and oppressed, you know, and number one way. So you can't lose these people's children. You can't have a beautiful white Asian girl named Alicia die and then just burn her up and be like, oh yeah, we're going to cover this up. Like, you better get to deep cover, because she got sent there. There's somebody somewhere that cares, you know? Yeah. And so I'm back and forth. Like, either they didn't know and that's just kind of going to kind of fade away and it doesn't really matter and it's just a setting, and that's okay. That's okay. It's still a good story. Or they're going with that, or that means something. And I think, my personal preference, that would be the funner way for them to take this adventure. I guess if I played the video game, I'd already know, but...
Well, it's like they do have that mysteriously cloaked figure.
I think he's a good guy. See, and
is it a he or a she?
I think it's a he.
You think it's a he?
Okay. I don't think it's the nun.
But it could be another student.
I think it is a student.
Oh, we never did point this out. We kind of are alluding that this is a all-girls school, but it's not.
It's not. No. This is a totally mixed gender school, and the first people you're introduced to are women or girls, students, a whole bunch of them before any boys show up on the scene, but they're there and very jockey and very annoying and very dumb, like all good background characters in manga need to be. And then the headmistress is for some reason a nun. Like, she just takes
hot for teacher.
She takes that. She takes the habit when she gets the job. Like, did she? Is she a nun? I don't know, but she looks like a nun.
And that's the question: is she? Because I'm kind of like you. I don't know if she's an actual.
Here's another point. I mean, if you lost, if one of your, if you're a nun, say you're a nun, Richard, could you go there? Could you be a nun in your mind for a moment?
Oh,
if you lost one of your female students at your private boarding school because she turned by some terrible disease, you know, as a nun. Would you really want to lie to her parents and burn her body and, like, desecrate her, basically? Like, first off, you're a nun, so you're religious. And so since you've went as far as to cloister yourself, you're very religious. And I'm like, this isn't very nunly behavior.
Not really, no.
She is not the flying nun, I'll tell you that.
True. I think it's just all an act.
That's my second flying nun reference in one day. I'm kicking ass. It's a cool manga. I read it in like 13 minutes, I think. So yeah, it's a quick read. It's fun. I never had to set the book down. So
and it's a little bit. It's an oversized compared to the traditional manga sizes that we get in North America. So you might have to, you know, if you adjust your shelves to be fit the regular size mangas, this one's a little bit more bigger. It's taller than a normal manga would be. So take that in consideration. A lot of times we just put those on the sides because they're a little bit taller than what our shelves allow because we pack the manga in because the kids love it.
Yeah, and if you stack books like me, it's a non-issue. I don't have enough shelves anyway. Maybe
you throw it in the corner of your room.
I don't do that. I have benches. And my books are stacked very, not neatly, but very correctly. I know where they are. They're all, it's only a mess to you.
There you go. I think that'll probably wrap it up for this episode. This is one, like I said, if you have Resident Evil fans or video gaming fans,
they'll love it.
They'll love it. They'll gravitate to it. Show it to them and you'll have an instant reader right there. One other caveat, we didn't really go into this, especially with some of the older generations. This is a cross, I don't want to say that. This is a cross gender series because as many females are reading comics and playing video games in this day and age as.
And males. Resident Evil always has been. They've always been very.
Gender neutral, I guess.
General neutral. Yeah, they have both lead characters. It isn't always the guy that saves the girl. It's very gender non-biased, and I think a lot of female gamers appreciate that.
So don't think you just show it to the guys. Show it to some of your female gamers that are out there and manga readers and comic readers. They'll enjoy it just as much. And I think that really came about probably what gender. I don't think it. See, I grew up in the 80s. It was still more of a guy thing. The 90s was probably still a guy thing. Probably in the aughts started changing.
Do you want to know what started girls playing video games seriously? Was, and here it is, online head-to-head gaming. Because the thing is that girls didn't care to play Mario Brothers with their brother. Yeah, I can beat my brother. I'm smarter than my brother. I do math better. My reasoning skills are better and sharper at a younger age. Girls found out that they could really kick boys' butts and really, like, whoop us. And when they could showcase it online, when it mattered, when it became a competitive sport, that's when the girls came to play.
In the aughts, though?
Yeah. When the internet became prevalent, when it became possible for everyone to get on the internet and play video games together, I did it for years. And like, that's where I've been. Like, I got lost in that stuff for a while. I met many, and you know, like when I first started doing it, you know, like I didn't really talk to anybody, you know, with TeamSpeak and stuff like that. It was all typing. So you meet female characters and you're kind of wondering, are you really a girl? Are you some weird guy? And then I had a couple female characters, so I had to, you know, give them very boy names. And then when people asked, I'm like, no, I'm a weird guy. And then, with World of Warcraft was the one that I had first noticed it, you know, like maybe not the first year I played it, but like the second year I played it for sure. Every girl character I met, and I transferred all my characters to boys, and every girl character I met was being ran by a human female. Of various ages, and I mean, I know World of Warcraft and online gaming girls from the aughts and from this last decade from the ages of 10 to 75. So it isn't cool. that it isn't that a certain generation of girls started liking it. It's that we started playing the video games in a way where they could really showcase how much they're whooping our butts. Because, I mean, I've always believed that women are more competitive than men. And it's because of that that they've been pushed down and pushed out of male sports for so long. Wow. And the more that they get in, the more, I mean, like, look at how well they dominate whenever they do play male sports. So yeah. True. And that's not a diss at all to women. I think it's cool to have them playing the video games. Now I can't. So you guys enjoy them. I can't play anymore.
Not even
I'm
just
busy.
The video games, but the all aspects, the sci-fi, the fantasy, the comic books, all your conventions are now starting to level out at a 50-50 split.
I think it's just more socially more acceptable. Yeah. I think the video game phenomenon came about for a different reason than that, because video games have never been socially acceptable. It's not a socially acceptable pastime. It's not.
It's changing though.
Well, I mean, maybe, but for the most part, people consider it a waste of time. Like anyone that's not doing it.
Well,
like
that's kind of why I couched this with the older generation.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the older mindset. Yeah,
with the new generation.
Well, and some people are arguing that, you know, a lot of things that we need in this day and age, quick response time and stuff like that, they're actually, you know, even the military is using video games to train for professional.
Well, look how they're flying the drones. Joystick.
Better for us. So yeah.
But that was just
that is the old caveat. and that's one reason that I think that women and girls kind of gravitated away from all that stuff in the past, is because it wasn't so much that was a, because the nerds would have let anybody, don't lie. I mean, in any one of my D&D games, anyone that I was DMing, I'll tell you this, if a girl showed up and wanted to play.
Did you say DMing?
DMing, yes. Dungeon mastering. Is that not correct?
It just sounded unusual.
It's old school.
It might be old school, but it was like DMing. What are we getting into?
No, I'm saying, I'm just saying, in the 90s, when I was busy doing it, if any girl ever wanted to play Dungeons and Dragons with me, get that girl a character sheet. Oh. You know, and I mean, that was, it wasn't that they weren't invited. It's just that it started to become cool, you know, and so now people are realizing that it's a lot more fun to get out there and get into a fantasy world once in a while.
And that's one of the things I just wanted to bring out, is make sure you're taking care of all of your patrons. You know,
The girls like
don't
this
pigeonhole.
Stuff.
Don't pigeonhole
the
people.
The girls like the zombies. Yeah. They like it as zombies.
Don't pigeonhole everybody.
I'll tell you this, I've done a little zombie writing, as you may well know, Richard, and like 90% of my readership's female. And I don't have much, like 6 people. And five of you're the guy.
I'm the guy.
No, that's not true. Another gentleman, Dalen Donovan, has read one of my zombie stories. So
there
yeah.
There you go. So I think we're going to wrap it up with that. Like I said, I think this will work for any, especially medium to larger library. Again, smaller libraries, because of the violent content, they might have to consider it and look at it. And
probably won't find it in
community.
Too many school libraries.
No, you're not going to find it in a school library, afraid not. Personal library, I can see it fitting in really great, especially a video gaming library. So if you're into Resident Evil, check out Resident Evil the Marhala Desire, and I think you'll enjoy it. And I enjoyed it. Lynn's enjoyed it. So
13 minutes. I mean, that's not a lot of your time to get just a great Resident Evil story to go into your library.
It took us longer to record this podcast than he did to read the book.
It took me longer to rant about Twilight. Thank you, folks.
And video gaming. And video gaming. Anyway, we're having fun here. Hope you're having fun out there. We will see everybody on the next go around. Have a good one. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library.
We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.